Zoe, sometimes we can see, sometimes we put down traditions here in the United States, so easy to see these things as old-fashioned or museum pieces or whatever, because we're such a new country ourselves, and so we oftentimes mistrust tradition, and so it's easy to find fault with a tradition because they are imperfect like every other convention. So this Theravada tradition that I happen to get into almost by accident, because my first interest lay with Zen Buddhism, not with Theravada, and due to circumstances of just being in Southeast Asia, I came into the Theravada tradition, which I had assumed much of the Zen literature that was common in the 1950s would oftentimes disparage Theravada, call it Hinayana Buddhism, refer to arahants as selfish, and even one scholar said that Theravada Buddhism had not produced any enlightened being since the time of the Buddha, and it was a total waste of time. So having this kind of information, I decided, well, I won't bother with this one. And the Zen thing seemed much more glamorous and exciting, and that was what was going on here in the Bay Area back in the early 60s, or late 50s and early 60s. So, much to my surprise, my experience within the Theravada tradition with, in a country like Thailand, because the Westerners who went to Asia to study Theravada would either go to Sri Lanka or Burma. And Thailand, never having been a colony of any European power, it remained a bit kind of separate and remote. And even Thai Buddhism was hardly understood by any Westerner because of the lack of contact and lack of understanding of Thailand itself. So it was when I went to stay with Ajahn Chah, it was because Burma was closed down. Nay Win had taken over, and you couldn't get into Burma if you were a Westerner at all. And then I went to a Sri Lankan monk in Penang, and I said, I'd like to ordain as a monk, but I don't know whether I should go to Sri Lanka or Thailand. And he said, Thailand. Much to my surprise, I thought he'd say Sri Lanka.